And
Very good. Good morning, everyone. It's
hey.
January 22nd, 2021 HRSD Commission meeting will now come to order. We will now have a roll call of the HRSD Commission members. Please say here after Ms. Cascio calls your name.
Glenn.
Here.
Lakdawalla.
I just tilted the screen.
Yeah.
I'll move.
Levinston.
Here.
Rodriguez.
Here.
Hrosky.
Here.
Ward.
Here.
Lynch.
Here.
Elifson.
Here.
Thank you.
Thank you, Ms. Cascio. I understand there are several members of the public on the virtual meeting. We thank you for your interest in observing the meeting. There are a few reminders for today's virtual meeting. Please keep your microphone on mute when not speaking. The audio of the meeting is being recorded for posting on our website in accordance with FOIA. Before speaking, including making an or seconding a motion, please first state your name. Ms. Cascio will call commissioner names for a roll call vote on each agenda item requiring action. Only public comments pre-registered with Ms. Cascio will be accepted during the call. I understand no one is registered to make public comments this time. Is that still the case?
Still the case, sir.
Okay. Going on, first agenda item is awards and recognition. And Ted's going to lead that.
Thank you, Ms. Chair, and welcome. It's got a couple of length of service awards to recognize today. With us this morning is Craig Forbes. Craig is with the Pollution and Pretreatment and Pollution Prevention Manager. He's marked his 25th year of service with HRSD on June 5th. He's been with us since 96, started out as a part-time helper, became full-time later that year, promoted along the way to hold multiple positions in water quality in P3, and has his current position. He was promoted into that position as the P3 manager in November of 2004. He manages the South Shore Field Office, and that's really, you know, critical first line of defense for us is the industrial user sampling to make sure that people aren't putting bad stuff into our system. And they, Craig runs a tight ship to keep people from doing the wrong thing. He has a Bachelor of Science from Old Dominion, Vishnu, so another Old Dominion grad, environmental health, done a lot of work in the fats, oils, and grease. I'm not sure that's what he really wants to be known for, but he's done quite a bit of work in that area. Charter member of our Toastmasters Club. So yeah, it's been a great success in HRSD to get Toastmasters and really have developed our folks quite a bit. He's represented us on the National Environmental Field Activities Program Committee and part of the Clean Water Agency's Pretreatment Committee. So he's just, Craig's just a great guy. He's, like pretty much everyone that comes before you recognized length of service. They're just, we've got fabulous people. It's really what makes HRSD so great. And 25 years, hard to believe. And so, Craig, let's see, I've got a photo to put in front, and I think Rick will say a few words.
Yeah, we usually get to hand out these nice plaques showing that it's presented to Craig A. Forbes in recognition of his 25 years of dedicated service. And I guess the June 5th, 2021. So that must be his anniversary day, I guess.
Yes, it is.
And we congratulate you on your tenure. You are one of many. So there are several of you who seem to have the same loyalty, attitude, and energy and excitement about HRSD. So we thank you for all of your efforts and work. And would you care to say some words?
Yes, sir. Thank you for that. I'd just like to say when I first started working at HRSD 25 years ago, straight out of college, I knew I wanted to do something to help benefit the environment. And all these years later, the work that we do in P3, enforcing the Clean Water Act, I believe that I'm accomplishing what I set out to do back then. And that falls in line with HRSD's mission and vision. I'm also looking forward to the challenges and rewards associated with the work that must be done revolving around SWIFT. I appreciate the ability to work for such a great company and that I'm surrounded by so many talented and hardworking coworkers. I truly am lucky.
Well, we thank you for all your efforts and energy. So, and especially through this trying time with COVID too. So thanks.
Yes, thanks. Sir. Thank you.
Thanks, Craig. Congratulations.
Thank you, Ted.
So our next length of service is not quite as long. Mike Martin, who's the Chief of Pretreatment and Pollution Prevention, P3. He's marking his 20th year of service with HRSD. And so Mike was hired in 2001 as the water quality investigator and has been promoted up to where he is today, which is the Chief of P3 in August of 2019. So he assumed that role shortly before the world changed and has held it through a pandemic. Done a great job. Mike, as those of you who might have been tuned in early, recognize he has his Bachelor of Science in Fishery Science from North Carolina State University, and with a minor in environmental science. He's told great stories about his first job going out on, everyone thought it was great. He was out on a boat doing fishery monitoring until winter came and he decided maybe he should do something else because going out on the boat in good weather is fun. Going out in the boat in the middle of winter, maybe not so great. He's been involved in a number of professional organizations representing HRSD. You know, and a critical role that Mike played for us and can't be understated was he was our change manager as we instituted our enterprise resource management system, our ERP system. Major effort to come and really change pretty much every business process we were doing. And Mike managed the change through that whole thing, became intimately familiar with every part of HRSD operations as a result of that. And just his easygoing attitude and just ability to work with a wide range of people really shone through that. It's just another one of the, again, we got great people and Mike's another one of them. So with that, Mike, let's get your plaque shown. And I think Rick will say a word or two about you.
Okay. Glad you're here, Mike, to attend the session and so that we can remark on your many, many efforts. So this is a plaque presented to Mike Martin in recognition to his 20 years of dedicated service on the anniversary date of June 25th. So we appreciate all your efforts and leadership that you have amplified for everyone to work with. So would you like to say some words?
I would. Thank you. And thank you this morning for the recognition. I certainly appreciate it. It's to be cliche and say that two decades has flown by. It certainly has. You know, I reflect back and remember vividly my first day 20 years ago, going home and telling my friends, I'm working in wastewater now, and them telling me, well, we're never going to eat anything that you ever cook again. You know, it's been great. You know, there's been challenges along the way. We know there's challenges ahead of us. Definitely looking forward to that. Appreciate the support that, you know, all of you at the commission and management provides to us, you know, to give us the tools that we need to do our jobs, the benefits that we have here as an organization, and including the beautiful new building that you all will get to see here next month. I mean, what a great recruitment tool for HRSD to have that and for people to want to come and work in that building. We definitely appreciate everything that you all do to provide us, and it just makes our jobs easier here, and definitely just appreciate the recognition this morning for the 20 years. Thank you for that.
Well, thank you for your service. Much appreciated.
Thanks, Mike. And even for a guy from the NC State, a Wolfpack, man, you're all right. But, we'll keep you around.
Okay, we move on to the consent agenda.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Staff's not aware of any questions or anything that needs to be pulled off. So ready for approval.
I hear a motion.
I move for approval.
Thank you.
And that was Commissioner Levinston and Commissioner Ward.
Correct.
And all those in favor say yes by roll call and no if they oppose.
Glenn?
Yes.
Lakdawalla?
Yes.
Levinston?
Yes.
Rodriguez?
Yes.
Hirosky?
Yes.
Ward?
Yes.
Lynch?
Yes.
Elifson?
Yes.
Thank you.
Motion carries. Go on to item three.
Item three is the Atlantic Treatment Plant Solid Storage Pad Improvements, and the recommended action this morning is to appropriate total project funding in the amount of $792,000. So the Atlantic Treatment Plant, it's our only land application biosolids plant, and land application is only done for a fairly narrow window of time when we're allowed to do that. So most of the year we have to store our solids until that time, and what we've had over the years is the walls on the sides of the pad are deteriorating, and they aren't tall enough now that as THP has come online, we have a drier cake, we can stack it higher. And so the walls need to be raised to 7 feet. And there's also the deteriorating walls on the north pad really need to be replaced entirely. It's also some structural steelwork for the cover for the pads that need to be worked on. So a small project, but pretty important. And we'll be using that space much more so in the coming years with Chesla's flow going to Atlantic, increasing the volume of solids that we're handling there.
Hearing no questions, need a motion.
Lakdawalla, move to approve.
Thank you.
Tarosky, second.
Thank you.
All in favor say yes. Those opposed say no by roll call.
Glenn?
Yes.
Lakdawalla?
Yes.
Levinston?
Yes.
Rodriguez?
Yes.
Tarosky?
Yes.
Ward?
Yes.
Lynch?
Yes.
Elifson?
Yes.
Thank you.
Motion carries. Go to item four.
Item four is the Berkeley Trunk Sewer Section M Emergency Gravity Sewer Replacement. So the two actions this morning are one is to approve a new CIP project for the Berkeley Trunk Sewer Emergency Replacement. And the second action is to appropriate the total project funding in the amount of $750,000. So May 26th, we declared an emergency. On May 20th, we had a sinkhole that developed next to the State Street pump station in the Berkeley section of Norfolk. Turned out we've got a collapsed pipe that's failed in that area. We were able to bypass the collapse, so we really didn't have any major issues, except we've got this collapsed pipe that needs to be replaced. It's pretty expensive, and at this point of the year, we really can't absorb that in the operating budget. So this is what we've done on a number of emergencies, is come back and ask for a capital project to be created. So from an accounting position, we can fund this out of capital as opposed to operating.
Hearing no questions, need a motion.
Glenn, move for approval.
Thank you.
Ward, second.
Thank you.
All in favor say yes. Those opposed say no. By roll call.
Glenn?
Yes.
Lakdawalla?
Yes.
Levinston?
Yes.
Rodriguez?
Yes.
Hirosky?
Yes.
Ward?
Yes.
Lynch?
Yes.
Elifson?
Yes.
Thank you.
Motion carries. One to item five.
Item five is the Boat Harbor Treatment Plant Transmission Force Main Section 2 land. So the two actions this morning, one is to appropriate total project funding, the amount of $26,424,000. And the second is to award a contract to CDM Smith Incorporated for $487,710. So this project is part of a series of projects we have to close the Boat Harbor Treatment Plant and move the flow to the Nansemond Treatment Plant in Northern Suffolk. We broke that up into really three main sections. One is on the land, the northern section around Newport News, where we're putting in a pump station and equalization tank. Then there's a section that will take the flow under the river with a buried crossing across the James River. And then when we get up on the Suffolk side, this is the section we're talking about today. It's to actually put the pipe along the land in the Suffolk section from where we come out of the water over to the treatment plant. And that involves working with the city of Suffolk and a developer who's developing a parcel there for them next to 664. And then we have to go under 664 and come to the plant. So while it doesn't necessarily seem like a challenging project, it's going to be fairly challenging with all the coordination around the existing development. Also, we're planning on some well sites on that side of the interstate. So we're going to put the piping in to bring flow back over to recharge those recharge wells once Swift is built at the Nansemond plant years down the road. So we advertised this for engineering firms. We actually had, again, very competitive selection. You can see the technical points, and the committee recommends awarding to CDM Smith, and they will be doing this work for us and helping us make this a success.
Hearing no questions, need a motion?
Travala, move to approve.
Thank you.
Sorry, Glenn.
Commissioner Ward has a second.
All in favor say yes. Those opposed by roll call.
Glenn?
Yes.
Lakdawalla?
Yes.
Levinston?
Yes.
Rodriguez?
Yes.
Karofsky?
Yes.
Ward?
Yes.
Lynch?
Yes.
Elifson?
Yes.
Thank you.
Motion carries. One to item six.
Item six is the Great Bridge Interceptor Extension 16-inch replacement. Two recommended actions this morning. One is to appropriate total project funding, the amount of $11,915,000. And the second is to approve a task order with Rummel, Klepler, and Call, RK&K, in the amount of $218,740. So this project is replacing some line in Steve's neighborhood over there in Chesapeake on Battlefield Boulevard. So we're going to about 6,000 linear feet of 16-inch asbestos concrete force main that's had was identified due to a number of failures. So it's a rehab action plan phase two. So we just finished all of the rehab action plan phase one projects that had a deadline of May 2021, and we met that deadline. So now engineering is moving forward with getting the phase two projects rolling. And this is one of those projects. And so this will, we're also going to upsize this pipe from 16 inch to 24 inch while it gets replaced, which allows us to move flow from that area towards the Atlantic treatment plant as opposed to Nansemond or other areas. So this is a rehab phase two project, got a deadline, a regulatory deadline, as does 82% of our CIP. But you'll see more of these as we can get these rolling, and Bruce will be reporting on this next month. You'll see the phase two rehab status show up in his CIP briefing every quarter as we start getting these projects under design and then ultimately finish before this compliance deadline.
Motion to approve, Rodriguez.
Thank you.
Second, Levinston.
Thank you.
All in favor say yes, and those opposed say no by roll call.
Glenn?
Yes.
Lakdawalla?
Yes.
Levinston?
Yes.
Rodriguez?
Yes.
Karofsky?
Yes.
Ward?
Yes.
Lynch?
Yes.
Wilson?
Yes.
Thank you.
Motion carries. Go on to item seven.
Item seven is the Morrison Pump Station Discharge Force Main Replacement and Capacity Enhancements. And there's three actions this morning. One is to appropriate additional funding, the amount of $1,111,618. Award a contract to Bridgman Civil in the amount of $1,758,680. And to approve a task order with RK&K in the amount of $230,199. So this project is a project that's been we've been working on and we've finally took bids. You can see the bids there. While they're relatively tight, they're all above the engineer's estimate. And in our discussions with the chair yesterday, I was mentioning that the environment we're in right now with rising prices, supply challenges, and labor shortages, we're going to start seeing, I think, that impact reflected in some of our contracts. While this isn't a tremendous impact at this point on this particular contract, I think we'll find that our engineering estimates are going to be probably on the low side for the next several months as we adjust our estimating ability to match up with the current market realities. So good bids. Bridgman's a great contractor. We've done a lot of work with them. We just needed some additional funding. We did add, the project is a little more complicated than we originally thought with the CSX crossing, which dealing with the railroad is always a bit of a challenge, but we're prepared to get this going and looking for your approval.
Need a motion?
Glenn, so moved.
Thank you.
Rasky, second.
I think I have Commissioner Rodriguez as a second.
Oh, okay.
Is that correct?
Yes.
Mm-hmm. Okay. All in favor say yes. Those opposed say no. By roll call.
Glenn?
Yes.
Wakdawala?
Yes.
Levinston?
Yes.
Rodriguez?
Yes.
Taroski?
Yes.
Ward?
Yes.
Lynch?
Yes.
Ellison?
Yes.
Thank you.
Motion carries. Item eight.
Item eight is Nansemond Treatment Plant Advanced Nutrient Reduction Improvements at phase two project. And we're planning to do this by design build. And so the action this morning is to approve the proposal compensation of $295,000 for each respondent team that's not selected for the project. So we've done this recently, maybe as recent as last month for another project. When we go out with these large design build projects, the teams spend a lot of money, the shortlisted teams, to develop their proposal to the level of detail we need to evaluate it. At the end of the day, we only select one. And so really a financial incentive to keep these firms in is it's a best practice really to provide some compensation for the teams that aren't selected. And it really provides us, I think the best opportunity. So it's 0.1% of the project. So it's a pretty small amount. And that's how the number comes about. So the project right now is estimated to be $293,850,000. And the proposal compensation for this project then would be $295,000 for each of the respondents that aren't selected. It'll typically be two. In the case of our James River treatment plant, we only had two firms that we took to that level. So we only paid one for that didn't get the project. And we anticipate we would have three for this project. And so two would get that prize, not much of a prize for not getting the very large job. And they will have invested probably 10 times that in pursuing the project.
Ted, is there any thought in the future of setting a limit on how many we shortlist?
Yeah, I think we really try to keep it at three. Bruce, would you like to comment on that?
Sure. We do target a short list of three. There are times where we shortlist two, and then there's other times we've shortlisted four, but our target is three. So that's where our selection teams are aiming for, and then we say that in our procurement documents. But there are times where there's a big difference between the number two team and the number three team. So we don't want to shortlist somebody that we don't feel can satisfactorily do the project. And sometimes it's a very close race between number three and number four. So we sometimes will shortlist between number four and number five. So sometimes we shortlist four. But generally we're shooting for three. That tends to give us the most competition. And when you shortlist two, you have the chance that if somebody drops out, you're kind of in trouble there during the procurement process. So shortlisting three is a best practice, and we shoot for that in most cases.
Thank you.
Any other questions? Hearing none, need a motion?
Move approval.
Thank you.
Glenn, second.
Thank you.
All in favor say yes. Those opposed say no. By roll call.
Glenn?
Yes.
Wakdawala?
Yes.
Levinston?
Yes.
Rodriguez?
Yes.
Taroski?
Yes.
Ward?
Yes.
Lynch?
Yes.
Ellison?
Yes.
Thank you.
Motion carries. Go on to item nine.
Item nine is the SWIFT Research Center full-scale managed aquifer recharge well integration. And so there's two actions. One is to appropriate additional funding, the amount of $452,111. And the second is to award a contract to MEB General Contractors in the amount of $1,040,000. So we've already been working on installing a new well at the research center. So you recall, we built the research center. We put a test well in to learn about the aquifer, and we did that in a number of locations, including there at Manseman, with the idea that we would use that same well as a recharge well once we were up and running at the research center. And we've been doing that. It's had some challenges because it really isn't designed. It wasn't designed as the full-scale recharge, managed aquifer recharge well that we're going to be using at other locations. But it served us well, but we've had to take it out of service a number of times, to, as you would with any well, to rehab it, to get it going back, performing, increasing the performance, getting it back close to where it was originally. And during those times, we're not recharging because we only have one well. There's no redundancy there. At all of our full-scale facilities, we'll have additional wells. So when we take one out of service, we'll still be able to get the full capacity into the ground. So our goal here was to put in a full-scale well that would match what we're doing at the other facilities, full-scale facilities, so we can, again, learn more about operating the full-scale well and have some redundancy here at the research center so we don't have to lose the recharge capability when we're working on the well itself. So that's providing multiple benefits. So the well contractor is actually on site and getting close to finished with the install of this well. And the next phase, which is this, is to integrate the piping so that we can actually recharge to either of those two wells, the existing well or to this well, and also set it up so when we do have full-scale SWIFT at Manseman, we'll be able to use this as one of the production wells at that point in time, one of the recharge wells. So it's got multi-purposes. I remember when we built the research center, there was some discussion about, this is all proven technology. Why do we need to research and demonstrate? I'm sure glad we did because we've learned so much as we've done that. And this is just another additional area for us to learn a little bit more about the full scale research or recharge well.
Hearing no questions, need a motion.
Dr. Walla, move to approve.
Thank you.
Glenn, second.
Thank you.
All in favor say yes. Those opposed say no. By roll call.
Glenn.
Yes.
Dr. Walla.
Yes.
Levinston.
Yes.
Rodriguez.
Yes.
Roski.
Yes.
Ward.
Yes.
Lynch.
Yes.
Ulifson.
Yes.
Thank you.
Motion carries. Item 10.
Mr. Chairman, Conway Shield, I just received the title report on this property we're talking about on item 10 yesterday, came in late. There may be a title problem here.
Okay.
So Conway, can we move forward with approving the purchase and then resolve it?
Okay, I just, fine.
And if we can't resolve it, we won't make the purchase, so we'll.
Fine.
Okay, thank you for that.
Thank you.
So as Conway pointed out, this item is an acquisition of real property at 215 Linden Avenue in Urbana to support our Middlesex Interceptor System Program Phase 2 Transmission Force Main. So our recommended action is to approve the purchase at the total acquisition cost of $282,000. So this is a little different than what was in your package originally because we didn't include the $57,000 moving and relocation costs for this property. So I think you saw a different number in your package, but we've revised it, and that's what you're seeing highlighted in red on the screen. So this project is required to help us move flow from the Urbana treatment plant area on out into ultimately to the York River treatment plant. It's part of our overall strategy for Middlesex to close the Urbana and the Central Middlesex plants, and then to provide service to other parts of the Middlesex County area where the county is building some collection system work as well. So a big part of this is making sure we can get the Urbana plant closed. There's a lot of public desire to see that happen. And this is a piece of that as we're pre-purchasing real estate. We're going to need to make that happen. As Conway pointed out, hopefully we'll be able to resolve any title issues because it is challenging always to find property for pump stations, even in small communities. I'll show you the location here. And this is, so you can see we're in a neighborhood in Urbana, as neighborhoods go. And so, you know, it's always a challenge to find locations close to our existing lines. And this was a good piece of property, so we'll be able to resolve the title issues. But if not, we won't close, and we will come back to you with another alternative at a future date.
Okay, any questions? So we need a motion. I guess what we're doing is approving a tentative purchase.
You're approving the purchase, and then if we can't clear title, we get clear title, we will, we just won't make that purchase, and you'll get a new action at some point in the future.
Okay.
Action of approval.
How about we include that in the motion to approve based on contingent?
Subject to clear title, sure.
Thank you.
So do we have a
second? Okay. Oh, made the motion, correct?
Yes. And I have the amended motion made by Commissioner Rodriguez.
Okay, so we need a second for that. Did you get that, Jen?
I'm sorry, I did not. Who's the second?
Who's the second?
It was Willie.
Thank you.
Okay, all in favor of the amended motion, say yes. Those opposed, say no, by roll call.
Glenn?
Yes.
Lakdawalla?
Yes.
Levinston?
Yes.
Rodriguez?
Yes.
Hrabowski?
Yes.
Ward?
Yes.
Lynch?
Yes.
Wilson?
Yes.
Thank you.
Motion carries. Bring on to item 11.
Item 11, maybe the most interesting item of the day. Just that this is recommended action is to approve a deed of correction, which really just corrects the name of a parcel that we acquired when I was a junior in high school and Jennifer was in second grade. but we turns out that as we're working on our stormwater maintenance agreement as part of our grease handling facility enhancement and treatment plant, it came to light that that parcel was conveyed to the Hampton Roads Sanitation Commission, not the Hampton Roads Sanitation District Commission. The lawyers working on this, I guess from the community college side and city of Suffolk, really want it cleaned up. And so we're making this deed of correction to change it from Hampton Roads Sanitation Commission to the Hampton Roads Sanitation District Commission. So just a bizarre little twist. Conway claims he was not involved, and we believe him, but he was practicing in law. And I just want to point out that I was in high school, but he was practicing law. So
I can claim innocence on this one.
Okay, need a motion?
Thanks for approval.
Thank you.
Glenn, second.
Thank you.
All in favor say yes. Those opposed say no by roll call.
Glenn?
Yes.
Lakdawalla?
Yes.
Levinston?
Yes.
Rodriguez?
Yes.
Hrabowski?
Yes.
Ward?
Yes.
Lynch?
Yes.
Wilson?
Yes.
Thank you.
Motion carries. On to the COVID study.
I will stop sharing my screen, and I think Raul is going to be presenting today.
I will. Let me get my screen up. All right. I hope everyone can see that.
Yep.
Okay. Perfect. Oh, there it goes. Hello, everyone. So we are at month 16 of our COVID wastewater surveillance work. And I thought I would just take a step back before I start before I update the results and just reiterate why we're doing this. I know that there was less early on, there was less buy-in into wastewater surveillance, and really that just had to do with I think less people were aware of the application of wastewater surveillance. But I know definitely now, you know, there's widespread buy-in, not just in our country but worldwide. And the reason why is because with just a few samples or even just one sample, we're taking a snapshot of the entire community. So that sample, that wastewater sample, becomes a community sample. And we could, and through that sample, we can, you know, look for trends in COVID and detect if it's there. You know, the real advantage, so a second advantage besides, you know, taking 9 samples and getting an entire snapshot of Hampton Roads, is that we see the signal faster in wastewater. I think we were less sure of that lead time originally, but now after, you know, a year and a half of doing this, I think we know it is faster. So when someone's infected, by day 2, they start shedding the virus that causes COVID in wastewater. And so for us, you know, if when we collect samples on Tuesday, by Thursday, we know whether there are infected people there. With clinical samples, with clinical tests, that the delay occurs because people don't start seeing symptoms till about a week after being infected. And then once they're symptomatic, you know, it could still be a few days before they go get tested. And then, you know, there's a further delay in getting those results back. So for, you know, those are the two major reasons why we're doing it. But there's definitely others. I know everyone's seen this figure. It's the Hampton Roads COVID load that we see through wastewater. So that's what the dotted line is there. This is actually 1 week behind. But the trend's still there, where, you know, COVID has crashed since our winter wave. And in fact, as of last week, we are not seeing it at 5 of our treatment facilities. So Bud Harbor, Chesley's, Atlantic VIP, and York River, we're not seeing COVID in that wastewater. And in the facilities that we are seeing it, so the other 4 major facilities, we're actually seen at such a low concentration that 6 months ago, we probably wouldn't have seen it had we not continued to improve our wastewater methods. Now, this doesn't mean that there isn't COVID in the community. It just means that on average, there's at these facilities that are non-detect, there's probably less than 100 to 150 people that are infected. And of course, that's reflected in our spatial maps. Again, this is, I think, 1 week behind. So you can imagine that there's more gray in the figure on the right, which is our most recent figure. More than half of the catchments are non-detect for the virus that causes COVID. Now, I thought I'd addressed a question that's been asked a few times, which is, what can we do to facilitate future wastewater surveillance with respect to disease? And I think that the best way that we can prepare ourselves is to be a part of the state of Virginia surveillance infrastructure that's happening right now. I think that's going to make any future pandemic or seasonal pandemics just easier to capture, and facilitate HRSD's, you know, role in this. So there's this big, I know I've mentioned this before, but there's now a Virginia Department of Health wastewater surveillance group that is kind of leading the charge for statewide They've actually are facilitating the other two work groups that I'm going to talk about, and some actually statewide surveillance projects that aren't going anywhere. There's a regional wastewater surveillance work group that meets very regularly. This group that does include several HRSD members talks about issues and projects and results at the local level. I will actually show an example right after the slide of some of the work that's being done, and right now is kind of pivoting to work and questions that need to be addressed before another project of this magnitude happens. Also, very recently, we've kind of started this Virginia community of practice in terms of for wastewater surveillance, and this is a group that's going to meet regularly, a very large group that is actually going to tackle questions that we had originally very early on that we just didn't know answers to. So for instance, it's already been brought up that we're going to spend meetings discussing, okay, when we generate this data, what actions is the health department or other stakeholders going to do in response to the data? Other questions are, you know, who's going to be involved when a project like this starts, or another pandemic? If another pandemic were to happen, who are the players that need to be involved? And it's really this surveillance infrastructure that has now started, that likely is not going to go anywhere, that is going to drive and facilitate future wastewater surveillance in response to emerging diseases. And I thought I'd actually just give an example, a super local example that's actually happening right now, just to show the type of work that these work groups are doing and are doing to hopefully facilitate future work. This is a project that we're involved in that's facilitated, or that's being led by the Chesapeake Virginia Department of Health and this Virginia Department of Health wastewater group. They've essentially picked five high priority neighborhoods and are testing wastewater far upstream into the network. So this is with the goal to prioritize education, testing, and vaccination clinics in those regions. And as I mentioned, this is ongoing. That neighborhood that's labeled 106 has been identified as a priority, and the health department is actively in that neighborhood, posted testing and educating the community. So this is what I think will a lot of these projects will look like moving forward. And with that, I can take any questions.
So going back to that map, I think the follow-on is what is the important part. You know, we do the testing. You got to identify the locations, but then what happens? And you saying that the health community is out on the street. What are they visiting, homes or businesses, or how are they communicating with the populace?
So they are posted in that neighborhood, as in health department individuals are there going door to door with education about vaccines, offering testing, because we know that we're seeing a strong wastewater signal in that neighborhood versus all the others. And so in-person vaccination clinics, education about vaccines, and best practices.
Very good. That's the culmination of a lot of work.
Oh, absolutely. And actually, so that was last week and the week before that we started seeing that signal. And I can tell you that from this week, we're already seeing an order of magnitude reduction in signals that were that are coming from that neighborhood. So it seems to be helping. And I was talking to Jim Pleto about this yesterday. You know, we don't really know if it was strictly due to their presence, but I'd like to think that it would help and hopefully prevented, you know, a big cluster outbreak there.
Very good. Well, thank you for all you guys have been doing.
Raul, let me ask a question. I'm assuming the city selected these areas and we're going to the pump stations to collect this. Is that correct? Or how are those samples taken?
Yes, at City of Chesapeake pump stations. And they were actually selected based on not just by the city, actually by the group of us that were, so us involved, us, the health department, the city health department, and this wastewater group. And yes, they were chosen based on several factors, like vaccination rates and a few other public health metrics.
Okay. And just a second question I've got in reference to the, I guess, help with the CDC and the Virginia Health Department. Do we have anyone from HRSD or representative from HRSD on the task force?
Oh, yes. Actually, on all of these groups, absolutely. So with respect to the VDH wastewater group, we actually meet weekly and then every other week for different groups. And then absolutely in the Hampton Roads Wastewater Surveillance Group, there's four of us on here from HRSD on that call. And then with respect to the Wastewater Virginia Community of Practice, there are several of us as well.
Very good, thank you.
Two or three, yes.
Any other questions?
So Raul, this is Ted. I would say going forward, how long are we going to continue to take our samples? Because I think as we go into the fall, being that sentinel at our plants, even though you're getting a lot of non-detects right now, are we planning to continue to sample into the fall?
That's the plan. When we in our group here at HRC, when we talked about this, we talked about sampling at our frequency until we saw non-detect at all plants for several sampling campaigns, but then potentially backing off. But that being said, this is the time where, I think the payoff of monitoring wastewater occurs. So yes, the plan is to continue sampling.
Great, thank you.
Any other questions or comments? Well, thank you, Raul. We appreciate your report. And given that, we will move on to item 13.
Coming up. There you go. So we have the Operations and Nominations Committee report.
The Operation and Nomination Committee met on May 25th, 2021, and again this morning to review the Commission Governance Guidelines, Ethics, and Remote Participation Policies, and have determined no changes are necessary to the Commission Governance Guideline or the Remote Participation Policy at this time. The Ethics Policy will be reviewed by legal counsel, and any recommended changes will be presented for approval at a future commission meeting along with refresher training.
Okay. Any other comments or questions? So no action required there. We'll move on to item 14.
And again, I think this goes back to the ONN committee again.
The ONN committee met again, like I said, May 25th, 2021, and again this morning to discuss nominations for chair and vice chair for the coming fiscal year, July 2021 through 2022. The committee polled each commissioner member to determine their willingness to serve as chair or vice chair, or their recommendation to appoint another commissioner member for these offices. Mr. Chair, the nominating committee submit the following nominations. For chair, Rick Ellison. For vice chair, Steve Rodriguez, for the fiscal year beginning July 1st, 2021.
Short and succinct. Well, that's the nomination for the commission to approve. Are there any further nominations from the floor? Hearing none, then the nominations are closed, and we will go forward with a roll call vote. All of those in favor of the chair for Elifson and Russ for vice chair, say yes, or if opposed, say no through roll call vote.
Glenn?
Yes.
Lakdawalla?
Yes.
Levinston?
Yes.
Rodriguez?
Yes.
Tarosky?
Yes.
Ward?
Yes.
Lynch?
Yes.
Elifson?
Yes.
So we didn't need a motion?
The motion from the committee chair.
Right. Was coming from a committee at their presentation was the motion.
Was there a second? I don't
know.
Is it required by
one from committee?
Okay.
Okay. So I gather motion carried by the roll call vote. And by the way, thank you very much for your all's confidence and welcome aboard, Steve.
Thank you, sir. Thank you, commissioners, as well.
All right. Next item is the appointment of the Finance Committee. And I've asked Steve Rodriguez to continue as chair, and he has accepted, and asked Vishnu if he would come on board as a member for this coming year, and he has accepted. So with the changes that I'm going to about to talk about, that's why we're changing the membership of the, we're adding Vishnu to the committee. So we will go on with, let's see, unfinished business. And there we've had some discussions on with various members of the commission, and have identified a search committee to ramrod all of the bells and whistles and all of the criteria that needs to take place to come forward with a TED replacement. We have asked Steve Rodriguez, Willie Levinston, and Elizabeth Tarosky to be on that search committee, and they have all accepted. So through discussion with Ted, we came to the conclusion that we'll let those three decide who's to be the chair. So after you guys get together, elect your chair or function as a committee if you so wish. Going on, we have new business. I think Ted, you have a section here.
So the next item is really the commissioner commendation for
for Mo. Well, as you know, the rules of our structure have changed with adding more territory to HRSD, I guess, command and the small communities has rearranged so that Williamsburg has joined the Newport News section and thus took Mo out of a job. And so he is going to be stepping down, though I know he has put out feelers already, says next opening available, especially for Newport News, since he's living in that sector, he would like to continue. But we would like to honor Mo on a two-stepper. We're going to read a resolution now, but we your tenure ends at the end of June. With the adoption, I think July 1 of the new law. But we want you to come to our July meeting. We are planning at this to be an in-person meeting, regular facility by the airport, Norfolk Airport. And we are going to have, that's going to be a longer meeting in the sense that we're going to have a lunch because we're going to have a tour of the new facility. I don't know if any of you have driven by. I mean, it's been a year and a half since we've had a face-to-face meeting. And lo and behold, there are a couple of buildings up in that area, all done. So we're going to have a tour of the facility and all of the water, where the water is going to expand. But given that now, and at that time, we want to present the official plaque that is beautifully done, that will have these words on it. Commending the service of Commissioner Morris P. Lynch, PhD. Whereas Morris P. Lynch, PhD, was first appointed to the HRSD Commission on August 24th, 2009 by Governor Tim Kaine, and subsequently was reappointed in 2013 by Governor McDonald, and 2017 by Governor McAuliffe. And whereas he brought to this position invaluable knowledge and insights gained through a career dedicated to water quality, research, and education, culminating in service as Professor Emeritus, School of Marine Science, College of William and as he provided leadership and guidance as vice chair from 2016 to 2021, as a member of the Finance Committee from 2017 until 21, and as a member of the Operations and Nominations Committee in 2014. And whereas during his tenure, he honored his role of serving HRSD, fully preparing for all meetings, giving of his time, devoting many hours to learn about HRSD operations and the wastewater utility industry, participating in multiple briefings and tours of HRSD facilities, attending national conferences, and regularly asking detailed and thought-provoking questions that help clarify complex issues for all commissioners, with a particular focus on water quality, science, and public education. And whereas he was an outstanding ambassador for HRSD, closely monitoring the recovery of HRSD, taking advantage of every opportunity to speak about HRSD, especially to small communities, trying to understand the benefits of becoming part of a large regional wastewater agency. And whereas he was unwavering in his dedication to the environment, the Hampton Roads region, and the Commonwealth of Virginia, discharging his duties with diligence, earning the respect of his colleagues. Now, therefore, be it resolved by the HRSD Commission that it hereby commend Morris P. Lynch for his outstanding service as commissioner, and be it further resolved that the Secretary of HRSD Commission prepare a copy of this resolution for presentation to Morris P. Lynch as expression of the Commission's appreciation, esteem, and best wishes. Adopted by the HRSD Commission on the 22nd day of June, 2021. So we need a motion to, and a second to approve this, what am I going to call it, resolution.
Dr. Wallach, move to approve.
Levinson, second.
Thank you.
All in favor say yes. All those opposed say no by roll call.
Glenn?
Yes.
Dr. Wallach?
Yes.
Levinson?
Yes.
Rodriguez?
Yes.
Roski? Commissioner,
is it Tarosky? Is that what you're saying? Yes.
Thank you. Ward?
Yes.
Lynch?
Spain.
Elif?
Yeah. Motion carries. And Mo, you have a opportunity. You want to say a word?
I'll wait till next month.
Okay, well, I'm glad you're going to be coming next month. So, and give us a chance to give you a good hug. So, any other commissioner comments? Hearing none, any public comments? Nobody registered, so.
Chairman, no one is registered. And for the record, we did not have any unfinished business.
Okay. And any questions on the informational reports? Very good. Well, the next commission meeting is going to be in July, July 27th at our headquarters. So we'll get to see each other in real life. So a few of us got to see each other at the skateboard and tank dedication. That was nice. So I think that brings us to a conclusion. Any other comments, Ted?
I think you've got it all done. So thank you.
All right, we are concluded.